Hey, welcome to Guitar Knobs, the guitars, gear, noise, and nonsense podcast, hosted today by
these knobs.
Tony Dudzik, Pick Guardian.
Jared Brandon.
Down in Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Donovan. Welcome to the Guitar Knobs podcast. We're thrilled to death that you're listening to the show.
As always.
It's a very special show.
Yes, yes, yes. Very special show.
Special.
Why is it special, Antoine?
This is our 7th anniversary.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
The 7-year itch.
Yes. What is the proper gift for 7th anniversary?
Well, according to that movie, right? It might be. I'm not really sure.
Penicillin?
You know, I don't know. Isn't it? It's probably a guitar.
Lucky number 7.
I'm guessing it's a guitar.
It's the guitar anniversary.
Should be a guitar anniversary. Every anniversary should be a guitar anniversary.
I think so.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are just going to have a little bit of fun tonight.
Yes,
we
absolutely.
We don't have a guest. The guest is you. That's who's the guest.
Hey, welcome to the party.
The number 7.
Yeah, we're just really excited. We're just going to kind of talk about where we're at.
What we're going
and where we're going and where we've been, blah 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 blah, blah, blah.
That's easy for you to say.
But we're gonna have a good time doing it, and we're gonna talk about guitar stuff, and that's really what's important. So,
yes.
Without further ado, we do have one announcement. Maybe a couple. You know, I'll just get through this one here. This one is from James Romer, a recent addition.
To the executive producer club.
That's correct, Amundo. He says, nice. Hey, funny moment listening to the episode with David Gander, founder of Breakfast Audio. Hearing my name as you read off my questionnaire and talking about my go-to guitar while I was driving to trade said guitar and some cash for a Rickenbacker bass.
Now, there you go.
Don't worry, I still have another Jazzmaster.
Good.
Yeah.
And now a Rickenbacker bass.
A Rickenbacker bass. Yes. Well, we got to make sure we get you to say it like that.
I know. I'm working hard. I've been practicing all week.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks, James, for that little thought. We love it when you guys send us these little thoughts and stuff. Makes it fun for us.
It's very easy. You can text message and you can message message.
Oh, I got another one here. Oh. This is from another recent one.
Hot off the presses.
Eppinger.
Jer, like germanium.
Germanium, that's right. Germanium. He says, holy hand grenades, Batman. What a swag bag. Thank you, guys.
Nice.
Yeah, because he signed up and he got a bunch of stuff.
It is. It is an impressive swag bag.
I think so.
So,
I mean, I don't know what other swaggerts are doing out there, but I think that this one's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. So anyways, we're going to get on with our...
I did want to mention one thing.
Yes.
I just was reading this issue of Vintage Guitar Magazine, and I just found out that Chip Todd passed away. Now, Chip Todd was the guitar designer for Hartley Peavey, and all that series, like the T40, the T60, 25s, all of
the
that.
The good old stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the backbreaking PV stuff. He did the design work for them, and after he left PV, I think he went to work for Fender for a couple of years, and then after that, I think he was just building his own guitars. But
interesting,
it was just a little snippet in there, and it was kind of sad because I've always, that T series, even though it's a bit unwieldy, it had a lot of innovations for its time. So, and it actually brought about the whole system of how most guitars are put together at a factory today, like the carving of the necks and, the CNC equipment. It was all came from the world of gun making.
Hmm.
I believe it. I used to watch the show Undercover Boss, and it was fun at first, right? And then it just kind of got old. But one of the later episodes was about Peavey. And Hartley's son, I think, was running the show back then. And then just months later, I learned that they were selling to China. So they move operations to China. And then on eBay, they had all this old PV equipment on eBay. And I was looking at the winders they had. And I was almost considering buying those pickup winders, but they just weren't the right application to what I needed at the time. But I thought that was – I mean, you could buy PV equipment that made – great amps and whatever for years and years and years. So that was a long time ago, but yeah. I'll miss the old USA PV days. I really will.
Yeah.
We all have USA PV stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Up. I mean, yeah. My first PA system was an XR700 powered mixer board.
we had an XR500.
And then the two cabinets, I think it was a 15 and a horn or something like that. I mean, yeah. But that
212s
was
and a horn.
It was available. It was durable. I mean, we put that stuff through a lot of heck.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. You know, it just kept on working until we sold it.
It's good quality stuff, man. It got the job done.
No doubt.
You can afford it, too.
That's right.
Stinky too.
No, some stinky of them lids. Were stinky. Some
reason it stinky lids.
It loved cigarette smoke. It just held on to that smell forever.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Well, lovely. That's
well, it's not lovely, but it's
well, yes.
It's I'm sure there'll be a fitting tribute to Chip. Mm,
indeed. Yeah. It would be interesting to see a collection of all the guitars that he crafted.
Yeah.
You know. Somebody make a museum of that.
Okay.
Yeah, send it in.
Well, that was a lovely announcement, tribute, as it were, from Tony here. And let's find out what's going on in our music world this week, starting with said voluptuoso, Tanya Blonsky.
I think that can be my drag queen name.
Voluptuoso.
I like it.
Well, you know, Todd, this week, I mean, it's always a good guitar week when a guitar comes in the mail. Over the years of making pick guards, a number of people have contacted me about Harley Benton guitars.
Yes.
And I've looked at them before. They're I believe a Chinese or Indonesian made instrument that only a guitar store in Germany sells.
Mm-hmm.
Thomann, Thomann Music. And I was actually at that store.
Oh, really?
Yes. But That's a different story altogether.
Okay.
So I just, you know, over the years I said, I think I'm going to get one. I just want to get one to see because all the reviews are great. They all say, you know, fit, finish, quality, top notch, blah-bitty-blah. Now, these things range from, you know, anywhere from $125 to maybe $185, maybe $200 for some of the set neck ones.
But that's a lot of shipping, though, you're paying, right?
It is not a lot of shipping.
It's not a lot of shipping, Tony.
So let me focus in on the one that I got. So
yeah.
I got either an email or something that's talked about there. Basically, it's a Jazzmaster.
Yes.
And I've been a sucker for Shell
Pink. How do you say that in German?
Jazzmaster.
I'm going to look that up while you're yapping. Go.
So my wife is learning German right now. She is going to go to Germany.
Oh, nice.
Visit her cousin. Yeah, it's day and night. She's going to learn the whole language and be fluent in the next 3 weeks.
It's actually a pretty easy-to-learn language.
Uh-huh.
What throws most people, I think, is the...
Yelling.
No, it's the
guy with a mustache that did that.
It's the what do they call it? The gender. It's either gender neutral, gender male, gender female, and that's like der, das, in
yes.
D is female, and that's what you know. And the word the is it's der is the masculine, D is feminine, and das is neutral. Yeah. So it gets that's the only thing that's really confusing about it.
That's not that bad.
And a lot of English does get some of its roots.
Right, like Jazzmeister came from the German word
Jazzmeister.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like it.
So, Jazzmeister.
So anyhow, yes. Back to the guitar. So they had a Shell Pink Jazzmaster style guitar. I mean, it's got basically Jazzmaster pickups. It's got, and this is actually a benefit. It's basically like a tune-o-matic stop tailpiece instead of a tremolo.
Ah, you don't have to fight it.
And that's been my experience with inexpensive Jazzmasters is a lot of time the tremolo is just, it's just garbage.
It's a fight.
Yeah. So this totally alleviates that. Now, what really impressed me is it's got what do they call it? The baked maple? Is that what they call it? toasted maple. Toasted maple neck with binding and block inlays.
Maple brulee.
Yes. Now, this thing is on there on the Thomann website for $166. I said, okay, well, just for, you know, giggles, I was, let me put this in my shopping cart and see how much shipping is, because this is coming from Germany. And I load it in, and it's $85 to ship from Germany via UPS. So I said, you know what? It all works out to about $250 total. I say, okay, I'm just going to get it. So I did, and I ordered it on last Thursday. They sent a shipping notice on Friday. It showed up yesterday.
Wow.
So we're talking, this is from Germany via UPS. Now, they must have a real sweetheart deal worked out with UPS in order to ship stuff that fast, but it's pretty incredible. So long story, even longer.
It is a nice shell pink. It's not like one of those ones where it's like, it's shell pink and it's really Barbie pink.
Yeah, this is not Barbie pink. The pickups sound pretty good.
It's like Mary Kay pink, if we're being honest.
Yeah. But what really impressed me is the fit and the finish. I've got a little tweaking to do on the setup, but the fret ends feel good. The neck is a very comfortable neck.
Yeah, I mean, there was no snags, no cheese grater, no action.
Nothing. So I'm going to spruce it up a little bit with a new pick guard, and I'll see if I want to keep these pickups or I'll get a hold of my good buddy Zach at Brandon Wound and get some Jazzmaster, maybe the noiseless Jazzmaster pickups.
Does the heavy perloid... I can't remember what you called it. You called it something specific.
Oh, the boa shell?
Like the big chunk perloid.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Not the marbly stuff.
Okay, not the marbly stuff,
but
yes.
The big chunk stuff. What do you call that?
Perloid.
Okay.
So I'm on the website right now, and I found the copy of my Access Silverburst.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got the cutaway and everything. And... yeah, but I doubt it weighs only 8 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the perloid pink, does that come in like a pink?
Yes.
That'd be nice on that.
Unfortunately, I think it's a little too pink.
It's a pink guitar, Tony.
I know, but sometimes when you put something too pink on pink, it doesn't look so good. But the combination that I think works best is this boa shell, which has pinks and greens and silvers and blacks.
Yeah, that would look pretty good.
It'll look good.
It would be interesting to see with the, you know, with the toilet pink. Or the, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I'll see.
Shag. Put a piece of shag on it.
That would be amazing.
Do you still have pink sparkle, though?
That's too far.
Todd says no.
That's too far.
Maybe a gold sparkle.
No. No. That actually would look pretty tight.
So anyhow, friends, go over to the Harley Benton site or the Thomann Music site. Yeah. There's a link from, if you go to find out pricing on Thomann from the Harley Benton site, it's real easy. It takes you right over there. It's, you know, clearly in English and you know, very
again,
little translation
you
needed.
Bought an import guitar and didn't tell me, and we could have split the shipping.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Well, you know.
That's
Todd.
Your last warning, Tony.
Oh, no. Todd's angry.
Danke, Tony Baloney.
Anyways, Jared, what are you doing?
So I had a bunch of old equipment that I was wanting to sell through my buddy's guitar shop in Fremont. Mm. And among that was a Buddha amp.
Oh, yeah. I remember
good,
those.
Great sounding amp. It's just when you turned it on, there was like a computer fan inside or some sort of fan that it just, and you can kind of, I never was a fan of that, but it's a fantastic amplifier. I had a 212 cab that came with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was sitting there for a long time, a mid 70s Bassman, a 50 watt Bassman with 212 cabinet matching that sat there forever.
Was that with the tilt back ones or?
It was not a tilt back.
Okay.
It didn't have the legs to tilt it back, but it was in really good shape. It's just, I don't know, just to me, it was just didn't work for what I liked, you know?
Yeah, I get that.
just didn't work for me. And so, and some other sound equipment that I had there that was just rotting in his store, not selling. So I walked in there when I was up there for a funeral last week. And I went in there, I said, just to go, just talk about whatever. And I saw this great, he's got a bunch of his own guitars in there. He's selling off some of his own collection. So he's got some good stuff hanging up on the wall right now. And one of those things was a Ripper bass. So the Ripper bass, it's all black. It's I think this is a 76 or 70, 75 through 77, because it's got this, a decal serial number on the back.
Yeah,
so it's got two pickups. They kind of look like the old school Mudbuckers, but they're not. They don't have a high output, but they have some ceramic magnets, and I've repaired several of those in the past. They're actually epoxied enough to keep everything together. And the switches, there's a four tone switch, so there's four positions you can have the switch in, so four tones, and it all works.
Do you know is that? Do they do like a series parallel in the?
I think so. Okay. I'm not exactly sure what the. I could probably try to dig in the archives and.
Yeah, it's not like you don't work for Gibson or anything.
I know, but I mean, seriously though, the Norland days.
Yeah.
We do have a lot of ads and a lot of marketing material.
Yeah.
From those days, kind of in our vault, but as far as I myself have not dug into the spec sheets and tried to find, wiring. We don't do this. Gibson's not selling that stuff right now.
I years ago at a guitar show, I bought a bunch of Gibson schematics from a guy.
Yeah,
I wonder. I'll dig through that and see if there's something for the Ripper in there. It is, because it seemed to be like from that era, like the 70s era.
I mean, it's there. Guys that have worked there for a long time, people pilfer stuff out of there, take pictures of stuff, and you never know, what people have gotten out of there, but no big deal. I mean,
New
Orleans, not really a big deal.
Yeah. I think this came from, cause the Gibson would actually send these out to their repair shops.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. So they could, this is how you do this. Yeah. How you do that.
So I'll double check and see. I might actually have that.
It probably has a tone choke too.
Yeah. You never know. I will let you know. And if I have one, I will send it to you.
So anyway, I said, hey, give me that Ripper bass and we'll just call it all even. And the bass is in okay condition. It's got some wear marks in the back. You could tell it's been played. It's not, I would say it's in fair to good. But, they're worth anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000. I think I'm going to hold on to it. Pretty cool bass. I don't have a bass. That's kind of why I did the deal.
Yeah.
I don't have a bass anymore.
No, I mean, it sounds like that's a pretty fair deal for what they're going for now. And as long as everything's functioning, and they're actually pretty cool basses.
Yeah.
I mean, the early ones were really heavy. I remember that.
This one's not.
They may have switched the wood on the painted
mahogany or something. It's all black. So it's not. Yeah. Luckily it's not a swamp ash or I don't know.
Well, I think maple. The original ones, the natural ones, were maple.
Maple?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So that's, you can imagine a body that large. It gets hefty.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That sounds like a great, great trade. And you got something new and your buddy got some other things that he can hopefully sell and everybody's happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's happy. Everything's even Steven there. So
cool.
Good stuff.
Well, if you get to the point where you do want to sell that, let me know.
Okay. You?
Potentially.
Mm. Okay.
I know someone that's going to
put a
cool
pickup
on it. Yeah.
I know.
That'd look killer, man.
Yeah.
How about you,
Todd?
Well, I had a fantastic week. Next episode is, I think it's going to be on NAMM. Specifically, we went out there and we had a blast, but we're going to wait.
Who's we?
Billy and I. Billy and I.
Yeah. Who'd you meet up with?
I mean, William.
Willie. Wee Little Willie.
Well, that was one of the cool things. We'll talk about that later, but it was Johnny Morales.
Oh, yes, hey.
Yeah, so we'll go into great detail about all the things we saw, the people we met, the gear you need to know about, what was cool.
Can we just get a little taste?
Nope.
A little whiff.
No, a wefer.
A wefer, thin mint.
But what else, the other part that was really, really fantastic about that, Billy and I were hanging out, we had a fantastic time. And I took him and a friend of mine, Ruben, we went up and saw X. And James Infeld.
Oh.
Who I'd never seen before, who I'd heard a lot about.
But he opened for X?
The Terragram Ballroom, which is a fantastic venue.
Huh.
It is in the heart of nowhere you really want to be, but the ballroom is exceptional. And it was really cool. And the coolest part of all, totally unsuspecting, I always like to elbow my way to the front. I figure if you're going to see a live show, you want to feel it. It's a visceral experience. And none other than Billy Zoom reached out and shook my hand. And I was...
Nice!
Couldn't have been happier. I just was it was great. You know, sometimes you get to have those interactions with people that, for whatever reason, seem to mean something to you. And, you know, I obviously don't know him personally, but I love listening to his guitar work, and X is an important band to me. So that was really cool. And got a little bit of interaction in between songs with Exene Cervenka, the lead singer. She was kind of standing there. Sometimes she can be a little... I feel like she gets really self-conscious. There's a guitar change happening, and I just told her that she sounded fantastic, and she paused, and she gave me a long look, and she's like, thank you. And, you know, it's nothing. It's something. All in one thing. You know, I was just like, hey, little interaction there. I like that.
Sounds like a win-win.
Yeah. John Doe was absolutely amazeballs. I mean, that guy is the flipping king of rock and roll, man.
Yeah. And he's a bass player.
Yes, indeed. So that was a real big treat. That was really, really nice.
Well, that's cool that you got to see them on their home turf.
Home turf. Yeah, we're in the heart of L.A., so they kick in playing Los Angeles. Plays with
that's
absolutely
a great song.
Bananas.
Great song.
Yes, it was excellent. They sounded great, and, you know, they're all getting up there.
Yeah.
But, you know, they didn't leave anything left on the stage, so it was a real treat.
Cool.
And while we were at the show, ran into Henry Cash and Bill Cash of Starcrawler.
Yes, yeah.
So just went up and, you know, we were hanging out talking for a little bit, and Henry assured me, he's like, no, I'm going to be on the show, And I think hopefully Bill will be too, because they're both really talented dudes and super nice guys, man. You know, it's cool when you see somebody that you've played with before and somebody that also shares the same interest, you know, going and seeing the band. So there you go. Kind of fun.
Love it.
Also, you know, it's our anniversary.
Yes, it is.
And
where are the gifts?
Thinking about...
I thought there would be gifts involved.
Yes.
At least a cake. Where is the cake? Is the cake coming?
There is no cake.
There's no cake.
There is no cake.
You're saying there's no cake.
There's no cake.
Okay. Any dancing girls?
You can steal some of Billy's absinthe, though.
Anyways. I guess.
Nice.
Anyhow... You know, we're reflecting on the show. We've had a little bit of talk before we even started the show, just kind of like going, wow, I can't believe it. 7 years. And it's one of those things is when we think about the people who helped the show out.
Oh, yeah.
And so we need to give a great big thank you to Tour Gear.
Oh, absolutely.
The fantastic patch cables that we talk to people all the time about.
And we
the
use.
Show and outside the show.
And we use.
And we use them.
Yes.
And when I'm gigging, people are asking me about my board, and they're like, what's that? And I tell them, it's Tour Gear design patch
cables. These are flat cables with very tiny ends.
They are.
Guaranteed to add space for at least one or two more pedals.
I do wonder if at some point they don't go into some kind of color mode or some element of color attachment or something. Who knows? Maybe they'll be considering that. And maybe they're like, no, that's dumb. That's going to cost us a fortune. We're not doing it.
Maybe
which would also be really smart because that keeps the price down.
Maybe they could do LED cabling.
Oh, brother, no.
That would be super cool.
So anyways, Tour Gear, thank you for being part of our show, for supporting us through the ads.
Hey, let me tell you something,
yes,
Todd.
Yes.
One more thing in addition to thanking them.
Uh-huh.
If any listener goes over to the Tour Gear Design website and orders.
Which they should.
And loads up their shopping cart. At the end of the day, they can type in the Guitar Knobs and save an additional 10%.
Yeah.
So do it. Just get a bunch. You're going to want a bunch of different sizes and shapes and you know, when the LED versions come out, you're going to want those too.
Yeah, the LED versions. Well, anyways, I just want to say a huge thanks to those guys up there doing their thing in Canada and making great product for all of us. So tip of the old fez to you. Thank you for doing that.
Good job, guys.
Anyways, so Tony,
yes,
you're kind of captaining the ship a little bit here.
I'm the architect, I guess, of this. You know, I saw on our calendar that this is our anniversary, and we didn't have a guest lined up, and I said, you know what? Why don't
I did that on purpose, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
I left it open for us to just kind of do this kind of thing.
Well, you're one step ahead of me.
Usually am.
So I got a hold of Jared today, and I said, Jared, this is our anniversary. Why don't the three of us, you know, Todd, Tony, and Jared, who, you know, Todd's been here since the very beginning.
2016.
And
listen to the episode. It's great.
Jared came on shortly after. And then I came aboard shortly after that. Well, there was maybe a little bit longer than that. But, you know, by and large, we've all been together here now for, I guess, all of us for about 6 years, right? Because I think, about a year into the show is when I was on.
About there.
I said, Jared, why don't we just get together and talk about, you know, some of our favorite episodes or great memories that we have and things that we've done together. You know, and I said, you know, let's just do, you know, kind of a free form, kind of a unstructured deal. So I'll start it off, Todd.
Yes.
One of my fondest memories of things that we did together as Guitar Knobs was our trip to Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of my favorite trips. And it was really a bonding experience.
It was.
Especially in the evening.
It was a very bonding.
But this was, I don't know how many years ago, but we went up. Johnny Ballmer had organized this.
Yeah, Alchemy Audio.
Alchemy Audio, yes, had organized this, gear and swap meet up in Chicago.
Yep.
That's right.
And all of us, including Mike Trombley at the time, took a ride up there. And I think Chase was up there from Gullet Guitars.
Yeah.
He was. Yeah. I bought my Chase guitar from him there at that show.
Yeah.
And that's serial number 11.
11. 7-11.
I still have it. Great guitar, man.
So the things that I liked. The show was, it was fun. We had a good time and got to hobnob and,
Jeff Schroeder. Jeff Tweedy. All the Jeffs were there.
Both Jeffs. There's only two Jeffs in the music world.
Yeah.
And so it was fun. But the things that I enjoyed were the time outside the show. We had an Airbnb, kind of a cool place. We all grabbed guitars and were playing songs.
Yes, I mostly listened because
okay. But you know, but it was fun.
You guys are a lot better.
We had a good time. Yeah, don't even start. But and then another memory was when we went to McDonald's before the show, and apparently the service wasn't fast enough for Jared. Do you remember this, Jared?
No, but I'm still going to believe it.
He's in there. How long did you take to make McMuffins? you were blowing up over the amount of time that it took to get that. But
yes,
but I believe it. That is me.
But it was a great show. We got to do.
Oh, we went to
Chicago Music Exchange.
Yeah.
We talked to the people at Reverb at the time.
That was when we were doing the Reverb stuff
before Reverb was bought out.
Yep. Yeah, and then we it was all good until on the ride home, Todd's van decided that it was no more, not going to go very further. So we made it to Indianapolis. And
that was awful.
That was the worst part of the trip.
That was really bad.
But
it's
an experience like that. I mean, if you've ever been in a traveling band, and inevitably the van breaks down.
Yeah.
And that is how, you know, you bond with your bandmates.
Mike Mike chickened out and got a ride.
He had his girlfriend at the time come in take him back to Dayton, yeah. I think.
Well, it was actually kind of scary. It was getting really, really cold.
It was getting cold and it was getting dark. We were in
It was a very dark. It was very cold. And we had the battery. I can't remember what was wrong. It was like the battery.
I think the alternator died.
What, or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we were losing power on our phone. So pretty soon, like, we were going to be, like, really out of luck. And we were in the middle of nowhere. And in not, I think, rather clearly, not a great area. I'm just saying.
Well, it was okay. We should have gone to the Walmart parking lot.
That was a long, yeah. Oh, then we all had to jam. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever had your car towed, it's bad enough when you're like, oh, God, I got to drive. I got to ride with a tow truck person. And not that tow truck people are bad, but you never know what kind of person you're going to be riding with. And that's just a little, that's their home. It's very much their home. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can be a little weird in there. If you're just doing it, then, you know, whatever. This is a flatbed because it was a van. And I'm in there with Jared. Now, you can all probably recite Jared's dimensions by listening to our show as many as you time.
Think of a refrigerator.
Yes. Yes.
My big
exactly.
Dude.
Yes, with an igloo on top. And then Tony.
Yeah, I'm not a small dude.
Yeah. Anyways, it was
surrealistic.
It was a surreal, extremely long ride back.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but we all made it back in one piece. We got back to Todd's place. Jared and I went home from there.
Yeah.
One more thing about that trip I'd like to not have us forget. We had an Uber, and the lady wouldn't move the stuff out of her front seat for me.
Oh, you were so angry about that.
And then we saw her later on at a burger restaurant later that day.
Yep.
That was hilarious.
Yep.
And
I forgot about that little tidbit.
Yeah.
I don't think we gave her ample stars that they wish they gotten, and it got weird because I'm like, oh no, she might bring up the fact that I don't remember who ordered that, but anyway, that was not the greatest.
Well, and on the that food tip, you know, we had Jeff Schroeder on the show one time at that point. And he was kind enough to just kind of hang out with us a little bit at the show. But he said, you know, where are you guys staying? Where are you eating? That's his hometown, or one of his hometowns, I guess you could say, at least since he's been with the Smashing Pumpkins. So we said, well, we don't really know. So they're like, oh, you know, I got a couple places. And he sent an email that was easily a printed page long about places we should try, why we should try them, if we try them, what should we get?
Yeah.
And I just was so blown away by the thoughtfulness and generosity with his time to do that for us chumps, you know?
Yeah.
And that kind of, like, I think elevated our collective friendship with him. And I really truly do appreciate that because it was a great time.
Yeah, that was nice.
Nothing like trying to cram Jared and Tony and myself
and
into
Mike.
One of the most popular Chicago bar restaurants.
Yes.
Yes. In a teeny tiny place.
Yes. But it worked.
It did.
We
it
all
great.
Had a good time.
It was great. We did have a great time. Jared.
Let me mention Wooly.
Our friend Wooly. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the shows with Wooly, and I'm not playing favoritism here, but I think everybody knows that I'm off a little bit. I'm weird. I say weird, puzzling things.
I'm broken.
Don't sell yourself short, Jared.
Yes.
You know, and we all know that. And that's part of the reason why I am on the show, because you got to have the weird guy, right? So I'm the weird guy. Wooly is... he's not just like me, but he's a little more witty, and he's funny.
I thought you were going to say he was more broken.
No, he draws like underwear and ghosts, and just his art alone. Forget he does. I mean, he does great pedals.
Coming out with a new one. like right like in the next day or two.
Right. I mean, he does great pedals, but I really love his personality, his artwork. And that's just one out of many guests that we've had that I've had the pleasure of meeting and getting to know a little bit. Mike Trombley, he's a big one.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that guy. He's like a brother to us, right?
Yeah.
So and there's guests that we've had on that have literally blown. They were a small guy and then they've blown up.
Yeah. Well, we've been. I think it's maybe better phrased that we've had the opportunity and the pleasure to interview some builders were very, you know, unknown, just starting out, and have gone on to great things. So, speaking of the early people, we had three that come to mind that I actually saw this weekend, and I made a point very specifically to say, thanks for taking a chance on us, you know, and we were so early in the show, and they were clearly somebody that we were paying attention to, but you know, I don't know that they had hit the great strides that they would have. Yeah. One of whom was Chris Benson Amps.
Ah, yes.
Everybody, I'm sure, knows who that is.
What number was that?
That was episode 59.
That's right.
That's
yeah.
an older
so that
one.
Was
yeah.
That was probably going into the second year, I believe. And then the other one I saw Zach Broyles.
From Mythos. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was on episode 48 and 53, where we talked about some of the
Mjolnir.
Yeah, we talked about his pedals, but we also discussed like the finishing aspect of things that we.
Yeah, he was talking about Tom Murphy.
Yeah, a lot of the Murphy stuff because he was working at Carter Vintage at that point.
That's right. That's right.
And then we had actually our first legitimate. Business owner on episode 11, and that was Scott Marquardt of Stringjoy.
Oh yeah,
and so it was great talking with him, and you know, I recognize that like they didn't have to say yes, and they did. They helped to build our show. I also just realized in doing a little bit of homework, Tony.
Yes.
Somebody has been on the show longer than you, that we've mentioned recently.
Impossible. Yes.
Jeff has actually been on the show.
Jeff
show longer than you.
Jeff who?
His first episode was 37. Yours was 39.
I want right. an address. This is, we have to put an end to this silliness.
That's pretty funny.
I don't believe it.
Yeah. Before there was Tony.
Yeah, we were actually in a different room than what we usually were in
there.
The
very, very different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I don't think that I was I wouldn't have been.
You
wouldn't
have been
time.
On the show. Yeah. No. Anyway, so that, you know, coming out of last weekend, I never forget where like the things that we've gone through to get where we're at.
Yeah.
Lots of people ask us, you know, what are you using to do this? I say, we got the Rode Procaster. Well, before there was that, you know, we had that insane
mishmash of
jalopy
patch cables.
Yeah, it was two big Behringer IOs looping into each other because there wasn't anything at that time from a consumer standpoint, unless you had an actual radio, like, you know, show.
Yep.
Where you could have somebody call in and you could have everybody in the room speak. And we could all hear ourselves simultaneously.
Yep.
And that it would record all separate tracks. We built that.
Yeah.
With the help of our very good friend, Mark DiCenzo, who toiled away and fixed it several times.
I mean, it is pretty amazing what we were able to do back then.
Yeah.
With that, I mean,
there wasn't anything that existed that allowed us to do what we
and
wanted
to
do.
And now, with this Rodecaster Pro, my God.
And they put all that in a box, and it was like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because it took us about probably 8 or 12 hours probably about 12 hours to actually, like, solid working to get all of that working and put together.
Well, you know, what comes to mind leading off of that with the Roadcaster was the fact during the COVID years where you were in the studio, Jared and I were both remote.
Yeah.
And we still were able to put together, I think, some pretty decent episodes.
Yeah.
In addition to having a guest calling in.
An actual phone modem.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty close to that.
Yeah.
That was awful.
But it worked out really well. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And, you know, thanks to technology, I guess we were able to keep it going rather than not doing a show.
I think
people needed something to listen to as well, you know. Just some sort of constant in their life because of all the change anyway.
Yeah.
Indeed.
We didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Todd, do you have any fond memories? One or two, maybe.
But I don't know. There have been a couple pretty fantastic moments on the show. And I think one of them was getting to speak with Susie Quattro. I mean, I thought that was
special.
It's special. It's also probably less special for anybody that wasn't born around my time or earlier, because of, you know, who she was, on Happy Days.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also like a really live, legitimate, groundbreaker in music. And that was an absolute honor to be able to talk to her. And, you know, when you're making connections with people, another one that I ran into and then was, Lisa Johnson, Lisa S. Johnson.
Oh yes.
Yes, of course.
And it was just, you know, I did not say, "Hey, my name's Todd. I did the thing." Like, she recognized me immediately and pulled me into the booth, and it was great. And I've been able to make several friendships with people that I really value and that mean a lot to me.
Yeah.
And she's so super gracious, super kind, and, well, you know, hopefully get some more connections. She's got some stuff that she's working on. But that was, honestly, you know, I said, and we're going to talk about it next week, and I promise that it's going to be mostly about the gear. But I've been asked so many times, what was my favorite part? And my favorite part, honestly, is getting the opportunity to go and meet the people in person.
Yeah.
And you know, we spend an hour and a half with somebody, which isn't the longest time ever, but it is, you know, it's time, and you make connections and you make some memories and you have some fun.
Yeah.
So another big one. Oh my gosh. Famed Honey Tea.
Oh yeah.
Instruments there.
Yeah. We just talked about that a week or two ago.
Stephen Burnett. His original episode was 109.
Oh yeah.
And,
this
guy, I'm telling you, I don't know if he's a glutton for punishment or just a trooper. I don't know if those two are separate. But he came in from Glasgow all the way to Los Angeles and stood in his little booth with his two museum-quality guitars and didn't hassle people coming by. If they wanted to talk, he'd talk. And it was just so great. Like, I ran up and just gave him a big, giant bear hug, and we hung out and talked for a while. And I was telling everybody I could. I'm like, you got to go see these guitars. You know, that will blow your mind. And what we were hearing is, like, you know, they're the most incredible guitars anybody's seen. And,
minds have been blown.
Oh, yeah, minds have been blown. And he's a gem of a guy, you know. He's got such integrity for his work, and I'm, you know, hats off to him. And then even more recently, Patrick Flores from Eventide jumped down. We had a big old hug out and everything, and it was great. It was fantastic, you know. And that's, the gear's great, and seeing new things, meeting new people is great, but when you're making those connections, because I do feel like we do make a lot of real connections here.
Yeah.
It's so great to, you know, meet the people in person, and it's just cool. So
another one of my favorite trips was our trip up to Cleveland to see Dr. Z. Jared, were you on that trip?
Unfortunately, I was not able to go on that trip.
So I guess it was just
me,
Todd,
and Rob.
Yeah, Rob Schaaf from Mad Cow Amplification, and we. kind of as a, I guess, a preliminary field trip to having Dr. Z on the podcast, we said, hey, why don't we come up and, you know, take a tour of the shop, talk to Z. And what a great trip it was.
And it was.
I mean, we got up to Cleveland. We, you know, we spent, I don't know, at least an hour or two up at the Dr. Z's house of fun, and got to talk to him and get his, I mean, once you get him started, there's no stopping him. Rob had a chance to play through a couple of the amps that he had set up there, and what a neat little operation. And then when we finally had Z on for on podcast, which is episode number 159. I mean, it was just, I don't think any of us said very many words. Z was just, he went through the whole history, through his philosophies, through his amp lineups and things like that.
Yep.
And I don't think we had to do much. He just let the words flow. So that was a fun combination trip. And then later the episode that we did with him.
Yeah. He was it was just really cool to be in the presence of, like, I mean, that's a renowned piece of equipment.
Yeah.
That is a highly sought after. You rarely see them used. If they do, they're gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, judging by Rob's reaction, I mean, he has the utmost respect and regard for those amplifiers. So it was just really neat to be in the mix, so to speak.
So when I first started working at Gibson, my boss, he had a Dr. Z amp that I saw. And then one day Rob texted me and said, hey man, there's this Dr. Z amp in Nashville that I think I want to buy. And the first thing I did was text my boss. I'm like, dude, are you selling your Dr. Z? He's like, yeah, I am. And he's like, you're talking to one of my buddies in Columbus that wants it. And so that was a pretty delightful coincidence. And that transaction worked out pretty well, but that was pretty funny. What are the chances?
Delightful. Now, one of the other people that we ran into was Eastside Music Supply in
Nashville.
In Nashville. Said, yeah, you know, we sent it. Goes, oh, yeah, you were at the show at the after party at 2019? Oh, no, 2018. Nashville. And I like the idea that we're connecting with a handful more of shops. And I guess it is helpful to have some kind of personal connection or some kind of actual, besides just like saying, hello, you're a shop, let's talk about your shop. You know, it matters if we have some kind of experience or some kind of connection with it.
Or enlightenment,
yeah. So they're going to come back on, they're going to come be on the show.
Nice.
I'm very excited about that.
That's nice.
They got a unique offering.
That's a fun shop.
Great shop. Fantastic. And we've also had the huge opportunity to talk with a lot of great demo people.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of which was Ryan from Demos in the Dark that I thought somebody was accosting me, and he kind of like jump scared me. And he was wearing a different hat, so I didn't recognize him right away.
Oh, yes. It's all in the hat.
And we had a great chat about, you know, what we're seeing, the state of things in the show. But, you know, I just like running into people and then having these conversations is great, just like we do on the show.
Yeah.
It's been such a treat to see how these connections happen, how connections from those connections happen. I shared with Lisa, you know, on the wall where I do all, when I'm at home and I'm editing, I get the, you know, a wall of all the notes and everything that we get sent. And it's like, you know, that means a huge deal to me. Because those are real connections that we've had with people, and it just makes it all that much more like, yeah, keep this thing going.
Yeah.
Keep this thing going.
No, so, and that's absolutely
that's
true.
What we intend to do.
Yes, we will. You know, I was thinking of other episodes and bringing in connections, our Rickenbacker episode that we did with Kenny Howes. Now, Kenny and I go back a long, long way. I mean, I knew Kenny when he was working at Rickenbacker as a customer service representative. I mean, he's done just about everything over there. And that's episode number 241 for those who are marking down listening notes. But that's where we covered the history of Rickenbacker guitars. Kenny is an undisputed expert in the field. I think we had a really good discussion going. I love Rickenbackers. Those are my guitars of choice, if at all possible, in addition to Telecasters. Mm-hmm. It's a tight race there. But I've always just, ever since I was a kid and, seeing the Beatles play them and seeing other bands of the late 60s and 70s playing them, it was just, what kind of guitar is that? That's what I want.
Yeah.
And so that was a very special episode to me.
I can totally imagine that. When you have something that is tied directly to your DNA in some way, that's pretty spectacular. We have one guest who's coming on very shortly who I think is somewhat of a standout in the pedal crowd, just based on the types of things that he makes and his desire to just
remain anonymous.
Remain anonymous.
He's an enigma wrapped in a conundrum.
Dr. No is going to be joining us on our show again. And we did a show with him way back at our previous establishment. And I was explaining to somebody, I was telling Alan Johannes about this offline, where I was just kind of sharing with him, like, hey, we're going to try to do the best we can. We want to make sure it's a great show for the listeners.
That's episode number 98 for those keeping
score. Oh, the Dr. No show.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, when I do these edits, I'm not trying to make it like so perfect. I mean, we're real people and I stutter and all this stuff. And, but I do try to make sure that it isn't prohibitive to listen to. And we were enduring the worst connection, internet
ever.
Connection I could possibly imagine. And, it sounded like, he was calling from one of those old wind up phones from the,
hello, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, it was terrible. He dropped out so many times.
It was bad.
He kept going. Like, he didn't throw his hands up. You know, he's a huge builder in the guitar world. And he was patient and he was generous with his time.
Yes.
And when I have in Logic, when I'm editing these, it tells me how many segments I have. Basically, like how many actual edits.
Okay.
And I believe it was 1,300.
Oh my God.
And that's how bad the signal was, the noise,
oh, yeah.
The cracks, the delays when they turn into robots.
So you actually clipped out the noisy bits.
I tried to make it as clean as possible.
Yeah.
That was the most extreme. There have been some that have been close, just based on, what we don't have control of the airwaves, baby.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this next episode will be much smoother.
I'm very much hoping on it. And as a result, I've ended up having a great relationship with him over the years.
Ah, yeah.
We've had several phone calls where we could be sitting on the same porch talking together about life. And not guitar pedal stuff, like just life and philosophy and art and music and stuff. It has been a great long distance compadre, and I'm grateful for his time and generosity.
That's neat.
Indeed.
Jared, I had a question for you.
Oh, man, I might have an answer. What's up?
So when we do our executive producer segment,
oh yeah,
you always say,
get your name on, you get to have your name read on the thing. Yeah.
When did you first start doing that? I can't remember. Now,
I'm pretty sure, and I could be wrong, but if someone wants to look this up and correct me, that's fine. But I'm pretty sure it was a transition period between doing the podcast at one place until we got the office at Gay Street in Columbus.
Oh yeah, there was a period of time where we did it in my dining room.
And of course, you had a fridge full of beers, and I took maybe three or four, and it was a Zach Broyles episode. It may have been his first or second episode. I don't know.
Yeah, but it was second.
Probably the second one.
And he was talking about his Mjolnir and the Mjolnir guy. Yeah, so Zeus. I said, hey, man, is that Jesus on the pedal? Is that Jesus? And he says, no, man, it's Zeus. But later on in that episode, I think I was just drinking the beers down. And
you were riffing.
Hey, you get to have your name read on the thing, you know, type of deal. And I'm like, that actually sounds pretty funny. So it's just been a tradition to say that ever since then. And it's just something that it just feels incomplete unless it's said, I guess. Yes. I don't know. It's just a quirk. It's just a Guitar Knob's quirk, man. Like it or love it, hate it, who knows?
Yeah.
What about the let me get a little bit of this? When did that start?
I'm trying to think of. Oh, that started when we got the tour gear on board.
From the tour beginning of tour gear?
Yeah.
Let me get a little bit of this.
Did I come up with that phrase, or did you come up with that phrase, Todd? And I just came up with the crazy voice.
I don't actually remember. One of us did.
Yeah. So I just made that crazy voice, and Todd liked it, and
it's, I think and you we couldn't all get it right for the next 22 weeks.
Let me get some of this stuff. No, that's not it. How about some of that?
Yeah.
Well, it came natural after a while.
Yeah.
And I enjoy making the crazy weird noise. It's part of the show.
No, it absolutely. We love it. Fun.
We've had a couple requests, actually, speaking of the crazy stuff, to do like an entire episode based on all of the outtakes. As much as I'm tempted to spend an inordinate amount of hours putting that together, the fun is that it just happens at one time.
Yeah, I agree. And that's sometimes, I hate to say it, but sometimes that's my favorite part of the show. Some of the stuff that we forget that we've said, or I don't know. It's
the Oreo argument, the vanilla versus chocolate.
Oh, the Oreos. That's right.
Slow motion. That was slow motion, right?
It was accidental. I didn't mean to do that, but.
Oh, and there was a time we got a suggestion from one of our listeners to do the half speed playback. And it sounded like we were in a Cheech and Chong movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that was amazing.
It was.
We've done that twice, the Oreo argument, and then one long before that, I believe. They were great.
Probably. And, you know, we owe a lot to a couple of other people who have really helped make the show special for not only for the listeners, but for us.
Yeah.
And we've made great friendships as a result. Rob Chafe of Mad Cal Amplifiers, who I got to swing by his house this week. He's holding something for me.
Uh-huh.
John Esterly, Rare Buzz.
Oh, absolutely.
Rare Buzz Effects, who is, you know, our local pal, dealing with a lot of train stuff as of late.
Ooh.
So he's been pretty busy. We got Mike Trombley of Native Audio,
very good.
Formerly Red House, who's an absolute monster of a builder and a sweet guy. And Billy Spitfire.
Oh, yes.
Is so busy being a rock star. He's got like three band practices this week.
Oh, my God. I know. And an art show.
He's got an art show on Saturday. A big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good addition to the group.
Yeah,
really
I had such a great time. Just, you know, we did a great bonding thing, and you know, out in LA. So I just wanted to say a huge thank you to those four very wonderful people, and who have helped make the show great. So,
absolutely.
Speaking of making the show great, you know, nothing's greater than riding in the back with a whole bunch of empties and pine needles of an El Camino.
Oh, but this week I loaded a keg of beer in the back.
Oh, boy.
In celebration. Great,
so that's going to be rolling around. Perfect. That was brilliant.
Yep. Yep.
Who would have thunk? Well, I figured in honor of our anniversary, we would have a keg of probably, what would be
good? Orange Crush.
No. Oh. Meisterbrau.
Mm. Okay.
Mm. Okay.
Meisterbrau. I can do that.
Meisterbrau. It is. It
sounds thick. Road tar.
Yes. So anyways, let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the point of this very special show, especially the 7th anniversary, where we're going to play a little old game like we usually do called Would You Rather 7th year anniversary or So our really good buddy Bruce Bacon, thank you very much for all the awesome Would You Rathers, and he sent yet another one. And he says, I want to read this. He said, Todd, I have another Would You Rather. This one's titled The Knobs Sellout. This is how it goes. You have a gig at the local bar. While setting up your gear, you accidentally knock over your only guitar. The headstock snaps off. You look up from the carnage, and hanging on the bar are temporary solutions to your predicament. The first is a Korean-made PRS-SEEG, which is a hardtail with a Budweiser bottle cap graphic on a partial Budweiser logo.
Mm.
Weird.
Mm, interesting.
The second is a Chinese-made First Act Volkswagen Garage Master. It is white, and it has three-piece black pickguard with corporate promotional guitar. Do you ask the bar owner to take down to save your gig? Which one are you going to play to save the gig?
Hmm.
Well, Bruce, you've foiled us again.
Damn you, Bruce Bacon!
Here's something he actually added. Like, the final detail to this is these are real guitars.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, they are.
So,
all right.
Wow. So the choices. Tanisha. So the choices are a PRS EG with
hardtail
with Budweiser graphics.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Or the First Act Volkswagen. I don't even know what model that is, but
Garage Master. I'm going to look it up just for the fun of it here. Yep.
Boy. I mean, actually, the
PRS already sounds, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
more playable, right?
It should be, yeah. But the it's not, you know, it's the EG PRS is their version of a so-called Strat. The Volkswagen model from First Act, actually, I think that guitar before they sold it, if you bought a Volkswagen Beetle,
you got one of
the First Act guitars.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool. I mean, it's kind of, you know, can think of like a Brian May shape guitar with.
Yeah.
So, oh boy. You know,
it doesn't look, the First Act doesn't look as bad as it sounds.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now. It's.
Yeah. The, I mean, just based on my experience alone, I'm thinking the PRS is probably the way to go, even if it has the silly Budweiser graphics on it. I think out of the box between the two guitars, it's a better made instrument. I mean, I've had actually really good luck with the Korean PRS guitars. They're very well made. The only thing, I don't own a single PRS anymore because the shape of the headstock gets to me every time. I just can't stand the pointiness of it. No offense to the folks over at PRS. It's just not my cup of tea. But I think between these two, I can suffer through the headstock design. in lieu of having a better quality and better sounding instrument, I think.
Hmm. Says you.
Says me.
All right, Jared.
Based on what Tony's saying, I am in line with him. I totally agree. Although I have to give credit to Bruce. Like when he said first act in this, would you rather, I was thinking Walmart, just real plain and gimmicky and just, I don't know. It just made my fingers bleed when I look at those guitars in those boxes. But, it does look cool. The Volkswagen first act does look cool. I'll give it that. But definitely the better quality. I'm going to say it's probably the PRS, the Korean made. So I'll definitely go with that. It's I'm going to guess it's probably made better all the way around, even electronics.
Yeah, I would say maybe. So. I would say so.
Yeah, I don't want to give it too much credit because I don't know them very well, but if PRS is going to put their name on something, I know it's got to be at least better than a first act quality guitar, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go by that logic and automatic Budweiser guitar. So I'll play the
Welcome to Tony Island.
King Appears.
Yeah. Well, there's no way I'm playing a PRS, and there's no way I'm playing a Budweiser PRS. So. I'm going for the
first act.
I'm going for the first act. That's not even, it's not even a question.
Okay. You are a man of honor.
Principle. I think this is more up my alley.
Yeah, I would say so.
So that brings us to.
So you're only on Todd Island this time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just me.
Nice.
Just me. Anyways, we have a show full of thanks.
Yes.
We have a list of very, very special people special to thank. Thanks.
That's right, Todd, because at this point of the show, there is a special group of people that we love thank. These are our executive producers. And you might be wondering, well, what is this executive producer? Well, if you don't know by now, an executive producer makes this show possible. How do you become one? Go over to patreon.com/theguitarknobs and check out a couple different levels in which you can participate. Become a sponsor, a patron of this very podcast. Each level comes with some very, very nice thank you gifts. But in addition to all that great stuff, there's one thing more. Jared?
You get to have your name read on the thing.
Your name read on the thing. So that's what I'm going to do right now. So special thanks, special anniversary thanks to these executive producers.
Woohoo!
Moon Guitars, Vader and Pedals, John Halverson, Rick Calhoun, Trevor Gunberg, Elad Mizrahi, Mac D, Richard Kendall, Mark Garten, Matt Hart, James White, Justin Jones, Anthony Gemolero, Bill Gola Guitars, John Esterly, Anthony Lathrop, Stefan Lamb, Michael Senchuk, Ken Sayers, Doug Christ, Darren Gregory, Tom Brazen, Rusty Sneeden, Ralph Gottschalk, Don Kloss, Gregory Randall, Brett Hogarth, Eric Hemmer, Stuart George, Michael Furman, Andrew DeHaan, James Bell, James Romer, and new this week, we've got a new executive producer.
Yes, we do.
Ooh, man, who is it?
Cameron Pampas.
Hey, Cameron, welcome.
Welcome aboard. You're in good company.
So glad that you have joined us. We welcome you. It's going to be fun. And thank you so much for supporting the show.
But Todd.
Yes.
There's more.
Okay.
Because we have a special group of executive producers. We call them our Grand Poobas.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
These fine sponsors, in addition to all the great stuff, get a fez to wear upon their heads.
Oh, my.
A fez, the official cap of the Guitar Knobs. So special thanks to these Grand Poobas. Tommy Manasco, Ricardo Igreda, David Kaminga, Brandon Wound Pickups, Hex Matos, Michio Murakishi, Bob Crouch, Jack Cadian, Sam Jett, Tyler Rines, LSJ Music Company, John Williams, James Pennington, Adam Johnson, Steve Keys, Cody Foster, Science of Sound, Brian Robison, Jonathan Jerusik, Corey Nigro, Michael Van Zant, Tim Nowak, Jonathan Daly, Martin Cliff, Sean
S.
David Poe, Billy Spitfire Unlimited, Congregation Gear Demos, Paul Von Eppinger, Scott Sullivan, and Great Lakes Guitar Pickups. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Indeed. We really are grateful and honored to have as many people continuously support the show. It truly does mean a great deal to us, so thank you.
Indeed. I mean, we couldn't do it without you. Plain and simple.
Couldn't do it.
Plain and simple.
That's right.
We would try, but it would fail miserably. Well, hey, everybody. We need to thank a... Well, we've already thanked a few people. But
yes, we
need
have.
I want to say thank you to Tony for being...
thank you, Todd.
Such a you critical might be wondering, instrument on this show.
You might be wondering how Pretty people much. Can find out about me.
I'm sure they are, but I did wanted to genuinely say thank you for your contribution to the show, for gaining a lifelong friend.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you mean a great deal to me and the show, so thank you.
Wow.
And Jared?
Yeah.
I hope you have a good night.
Yeah, you too.
Jared, we miss you terribly, and I know that you can't be on every show now these days, but we hope that we continue to have many more laughs with you for as long as we can go.
Yeah. Of course.
And now, let's find out a little bit from where people can find Tony and stuff.
Well, Todd, let me just say, on behalf of Jared and myself, that we... Like, the show couldn't do it without our executive producers. We could not do this show without the work that you do. And just
the driver.
Just so you know that we appreciate everything that you do. We know that you put a lot more hours in than any human probably should, and certainly more hours than Jared and I do, but we do appreciate it. And I do believe, yes, we have all gained lifelong friends as a result of this podcast. So,
absolutely.
So, if people want to find out about Pick Guardian, go over to pickguardian.com, check out a couple things that I have available for sale, things that I do, but by and large, shoot me an email, let me know what you're trying to do. Who knows? I probably have some good advice for you. And
I bet you do.
That's what I am. I'm an advice guy.
Jared.
Yeah. You want to ask me a question about pickups or electronics or guitars in general and what my first guitar was, or if you have a question of something you need, feel free to reach out to me at jared.allen.brandon on Instagram.
Excellent.
Nice.
I got a couple things going on. You can find me. you can send me an email at todd@theguitarknobs.com. You can DM me on Instagram. @guitarknobs. Love to hear from you. Flint Effects.
Ah, yes.
We're gaining steam with the Stomper, which is the protective unit for several multi-effects pedal knobs.
Yes.
Took some of those to NAMM. And
So you were able people to try them out?
The one of the best things I've seen was handing it to Johnny Morales. And I said, go ahead, put it on the HX Stomp. And he looked at it, and he looked at the things, and he put it on. And the minute he put it on, he looked up, and his eyeballs were big. He's like, oh, like it clicked with him. And that was really cool. And I also wanted to give a shout out to Guitar Speak Podcast, who said, hey, you mentioned this a few times. I'd really like to get one. So gave him the information on how to do that.
Nice.
And that's Matt out at Guitar Speak Podcast in Australia.
Hey.
Yeah, they talk to guitarists mainly. It'd be kind of fun to have them on the show at some point. Well, we had Mr. Glenn's pickup, so I guess we can talk to Australia too.
The Dingo Ate Your Stomp.
Dingo Ate Your Stomp Box. That's so dumb. How tired are they of that joke?
It never gets old. Never.
Oh, dear.
You call that a knife?
Yes. And then check us out, the Valentinos, out on Spotify. Very exciting.
New stuff coming out.
Four new cuts coming out, and just wrote a pile of new stuff.
Nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to us for 7 years. And we hope you listen for many, many more. And we continue to hope to do the very best we can to give you some great listening infotainment. Mm-hmm. We are infotainment, baby.
That's right.
Have a fantastic guitar week and subscribe for 7 more years.
Yeah.
All right, doofus. This is doofuses.
Doofy.
Doofy? Is that the, that's the plural? Doofus?
Doofy.
Thank you,
sir. Trying
to
figure out the expiration date of this beer. We've had some really great pedal companies on too, like The Guy. You got to help me out because I forgot what his name is, but he.
Zach Broyles?
No, the.
Beer never expires.
Oh, contraire, Emperor.
Dr. No?
Hey, Jared.
Yeah. It was...
Petals.
Mike Trombley?
It was awful.
Red beers are terrible.
No, he's a real famous pedal guy. Super, the most famous guy we had on to date when we had him on. I was like, what do I do here? It's just dead air. Oh.
Ren and Cuff.
No.
Came with a free colonoscopy.
This dude is big time. He's a big time pedal company. Big
Wooly.
Oh yeah, Wooly.
Welcome to the machine. Where have you been? It's all right. We know where you've been.
I had my picture with him at NAMM.
R2R?
Testing. Spestical testicle wallet and watch. Test, testicle.
The human torch was denied a bank loan.
Think earlier, when we finally had a big pedal company on. No.
It's not coming to me.
Eventide?
No.
But did you see Michelangelo Batio?
No, I did not.
That's it. Then it was a complete waste of your time.
But I mean, the main guy, the short guy. All right.
Oh.
No more noise from downstairs. No, the short guy, the older guy. That's
the Dr. Z. Dr. Z.
No.
Yes, I did, actually.
Not boss.
No. I got to shut my trap door. Big pedal companies. Name off some really big pedal companies.
JHS?
No.
Mutron?
No.
Mutron? It's gold, Jerry. Gold.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this is happening right now. It's... He was one of our biggest guests. He was.
Knock knock.
Who's there? And he said one of his favorite pedals was the.
Strymon.
Nope.
No, not Strymon.
Even bigger than Strymon.
Bigger than Strymon.
I don't know what that is though. I mean, what do you think?
I don't know.
Did you get anything on the microphone there, Jared?
Yeah, I know. Nah, forget it. Let's just go. He's a pedal genius.
Pedal genius. Yes. Your video is ravishing.
Nah, forget it. If you guys don't remember, it's really not mentionable.
I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah, that's not your fault.
Yeah. Oh, also, we were talking about, we have reoccurring guests come on.
Yeah.
So after Jeff. Dr. No, we're going to have Robert Keeley.
That's who I was trying to tell you. That's him. Were you f***ing with me? You were f***ing with me, bitch. I know you were.
We were running out of people to say.
I was like, come on. You know the guy, the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You got me good.
And away we go.
Well, that's it for these knobs. Please visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/theguitarknobs. Visit our website at theguitarknobs.com for all of our past episodes, Four on the Floor blog, and other good stuff. You can connect with us on social too at our Facebook page and share your gear and stories on our Facebook group. Also, be sure to check out our Instagram at guitarknobs. Catch you next time.